Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. 1-2-3. Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We got a good show. We're going to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We've got lots to talk about. We're going to talk about dry eye. Oh, yeah. Is that a problem that you have? You know somebody with that? Always putting the eye drops in. So we're going to talk about that. We are going to also be including some nail fungus in the show because coming up next Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Paul Kissinger, who has some natural ways to deal with that. So hope you can join us. He's going to be with us. Following that, on the 20th, Dr. Carly's going to be here. And then a special guest, we're going to have Melanie Cederstrom from Discount Gold and Silver Trading with us on the 22nd. She's going to enlighten us the do's and don'ts out there if you're looking for backup currency. So she's going to keep you wealthy. I'll keep you healthy. And so we got lots to do in the month of August. Yeah, the You know, August is usually, you know, I think of it as the last month of summer. And then we start, you know, thinking about, you know, getting the sweaters out of the mothballs and getting ready for the cooler weather. I know a lot of you are probably ready for that. You know, ready to get those sweaters on. Well, we got a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi. We're praying for our military, our righteous men and women in uniform, because there are a few, you know, that are righteous stand-up men and women there in our armed forces. So we lift them up in prayer. And as we're seeking the Lord's face, I know I'm hitting the knees, and I hope you'll join me. We are asking for God's intervention because we have problems here in America, right? Even Stevie Wonder can see that. Oh, yeah. So hopefully, you know, the good Lord will save us from ourselves. It's his prerogative, but it's our job to ask. So, you know, and there's never a moment wasted. No time ever is wasted when you spend it in prayer with the Lord. Yeah. That's how you make a friendship count. That's when Jesus, when it comes time for the judgment, everybody's judged, you know, he's going to call you friend and he's going to vouch for you. Otherwise, the other option ain't good. Oh, well. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. What do we got in the quacker? Merck and Company, the pharmaceutical giant, the Pharmco giant. Well, you know, they're the makers of the papilloma virus vaccine, the Gardasil. Well, they also make that naughty little drug called Fosamax, which they give usually postmenopausal women for osteoporosis. Well, they just got ordered to pay by the U.S. District Court of Manhattan. They were sued. They got to pay $285,000 big ones to a 69-year-old Rhonda Scheinberg. And she sued him because the Fosamax gave her one of those dreaded little side effects called osteonecrosis, which, you know, which means she took the drug and the drug just rotted her jaw away. Yeah, here you are taking a medicine that your doctor prescribes because your doctor's been told this is what you should take to improve bone health, bone density. And here it is. It just rots your face off, you know? Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because Judge John Keenan, who officiated over the proceedings, he said, you know, a warning is not automatically sufficient simply because it includes certain magic words, noting that Merck's warning label was inadequate. It failed to mention the drug's limited efficacy, but it did say, you know, could give you osteonecrosis. The label did say that, but the judge said not sufficient. 285 big ones to this unfortunate soul who now doesn't have a jaw. Moving along on the quack report. Well, you know, before I get to the other thing, if you're wanting strong, healthy bones, you don't find it in drugs like that. You don't find it in cow milk, animal products. You find it in vegetables, green leafy vegetables. I've said this over and over again, but this is an opportune moment to say it again. The body likes calcium, but it has to have uptake minerals of boron and magnesium so the body can absorb the calcium and put it into your bones. And you only find that in vegetables, some citrus like oranges, and of course some herbs like horsetail and oat straw. So if you're looking for a fabulous plant-based calcium with the 2-to-1 ratio the body likes, well then just ask folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a calcium liquid. Calcium liquid. So potent, you don't have to take it every day. You just take it like 3 times a week. And, you know, bone density tests won't be a problem after that. Alrighty, we're going to move along here. High number of doctors unhappy with their doctor profession. according to a new study. That's right. New study says that 42% of our physicians across the United States are dissatisfied or very dissatisfied with their medical practices. 59% say they wouldn't encourage young people to enter the field of medicine. 16% though said that they were generally okay with everything. So those that were satisfied, they were okay with their profession, they were male physicians over the age of 45, and they tended to be either anesthesiologists, dermatologists, or pediatric or surgical subspecialties, you know, like a bone guy or something. Yep. Okay, so actually the least satisfied physicians were mostly female, younger than 45, and they were internists or, you know, your general practitioner, family physician. And the negative view, basically the most negative view of the profession were doctors that were in emergency room medicine, critical care, and radiology. So I guess, and doctors who had their own practices, a little happier than those that had to work for, you know, a practice that was owned by a big hospital or health care system. Oh, boy. So what are we going to expect with Obamacare? What do you think? Is that a morale going to go up, do you think? Maybe we should take out a parlay on if it's going to go up. Or is it going to go down? All right, last but not least in the Quack Report. Do you go out there and shop around and buy those protein shakes? I know a lot of people do, the whey, the protein, all that stuff. Well, read and research very carefully, because a lot of those commercial protein powder, the shakes, you know, very popular with the fitness crowd, you know, busy professionals, even pregnant moms. Yeah, moms-to-be. They like that stuff. Well, on the surface, they may look okay, and they may help you, you know, skip a meal on the healthy side, you know, if you had to. But really read the labels, because sometimes you can find something that shouldn't be in there. In 2010, the Consumer Reports tested 15 popular protein powders and shakes, and they found they had arsenic, cadmium, lead, and mercury. Yeah, the article in that report, if you want to search it online, Consumer Reports, is your protein powder toxic? Ooh. So cadmium accumulates in your kidneys, takes you a lifetime to get rid of it, according to Dr. Michael Harbit. He's director of Environmental Cancer Initiative in Michigan. So heavy metals are not only impurities, you know, they're going to clog filtering organs. Plus, here's the other thing. A lot of these products tend to be heated in processing, and it inadvertently creates MSG on its own. Yes, so when you process high-protein foods, they get isolates, and MSG is created. And since it's not an added ingredient, it's not going to be on your ingredient list. MSG is going to put weight on you. Maybe not a good thing if you're trying to lose the weight. Well, if you're looking for something that's organic, it's a whole plant food source, doesn't have the MSGs, doesn't have the metals, check out the Body Food Mix. Folks at Apothecary Herbs have that. And while you're there, look at the calcium formula, thepowerherbs.com. Hey, I gotta go. We got to move along. And that wraps the Quack Report. That's all, folks. Thank you, Frank. No, I'm serious about maybe a parlay. Maybe we should do a parlay on, you know, the morale of our medical physicians in the U.S. after Obamacare kicks in. What do you think? What are the odds? What kind of odds can you give me? they're not going to be good. All right, let's talk about dry eye, because I was asked by an Herb Talk radio listener to talk about to talk more about this. We touched on it the other week when we were talking about those biometric eye scans, but, you know, wanted a little bit more information about this dry eye condition. Lately, there seems to be an increase in this condition. Lots of people getting it. Well, in the United States, we have over 20 million people with dry eye, and 40% of them have a condition, have this condition on a regular basis. It's not just fleeting. It doesn't come and go. It just comes and doesn't go. So what is causing folks to have really dry eyes? So this condition is known as keratoconjunctivitis sicca. Keratoconjunctivitis sicca, which is Latin for dry and inflamed eyes, basically. So the condition can involve the cornea and the conjunctiva, which is the tear film inner lining of your eyelid, which also covers that white part of your eye. But according to the McMonies and Ho Dry Eye Questionnaire, yeah, they wanted to get down and dirty with this topic, so they wanted to find out, you know, do individuals really have dry eye, or is it just not even an issue? Well, they found that over 45-year-old females, they found that usually those people with dry eye are over the age of 45 and they're female, especially menopausal women. Isn't that interesting? They had an increased prevalence for dry eye, apparently, if you're over 45 female and menopausal. So we're going to take a look at what could be causing this other than hormones and what you can do about it. Let's talk about this conjunctiva, which is the tear film inner lining of your eyelid. The conjunctiva or junctiva of the eye helps to lubricate the eye and produces mucus and tears, aside from, you know, the regular tear duct glands. And it also helps prevent infections. Okay, so this is kind of an important part of your eye. So what are some of the symptoms, in addition to, you know, dry feeling of the eyes? Well, they may feel heavy. Your eyes may feel heavy and really tired. You know, like at the end of the day, you just can't even think about eating dinner. You just got to go lay down, close your eyes, go to sleep. People with dry eye also report maybe a sandy, scratchy, or gritty feeling in their eye. Their eyes may itch or sting, have some stinging sensations. Of course, most of them complain about pain and redness, and some even describe a pulling sensation within the eye. They're all sensitive to light, and they feel some eye pressure at some point. So, you know, oddly enough, the dry eye problem can actually irritate the eye enough to cause the eyes to water. However, this is a reflex response. These are really reflex response tears, that's what they're known as, which really don't have that lubricating quality necessary to help prevent dry eye. Okay. Also, people with dry eye, they say the floaters are more prevalent, more pronounced, and they even can produce some blurred vision. And symptoms become worse with wind, you know, if something's blowing on you in your eyes. You know, if you're driving in the car and you got the air conditioning on, gotta push that vent the other way. So it's worse with wind, but it does get better. Dry eye people say their eyes feel better when it's more humid, when there's more humidity in the air, like on a rainy day, or, you know, while they're in the shower. So approximately 76% of those with dry eyes say the condition becomes more severe over time, and it's most likely because they're merely adding eye drops and they're not addressing the cause of the problem. So we're going to look at some of these causes, and there's quite a few, so it's not always the same for everyone. Well, dry eye has many causes, yes indeed, such as, you know, you're not blinking enough. You're watched on that computer or that video game, and you're just not blinking enough. So blink more, you know. So a lot of people say, you know, they're working on their computers, and that strains their eyes, and they get really dry.
Also, dehydration is an issue with, you know, people drinking lots of alcohol and caffeine. This will dehydrate the body, and there's not enough water to bring to create the lubrication for the eye. So watch the alcohol and caffeine. Drink more water, of course. Also, wearing contact lenses can also create a dry eye problem. And as I mentioned, hormonal changes can also contribute and explains why menopausal women experience this problem. Those living in higher altitudes also have experienced dry eye. And vitamin A deficiency can also contribute, as well as a thyroid imbalance and certain medications even. So if you're taking like antihistamines, antidepressants, diuretics, oral contraceptives, and hormone replacement drugs, that can be creating your dry eye issue. Now, some medical conditions can also contribute, like if you have rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, rosacea. Rosacea is that inflamed skin condition also known as adult acne. Sarcoidosis, which is inflamed cells, and Sjögren syndrome, which is also an inflammatory disease. Also, glaucoma patients using medicated eye drops can also experience a bit of dry eye. And needless to say, obviously doctors think that dry eye mostly stems from an inflammation issue. So it is also noted that dry eye becomes worse after having LASIK eye surgery. So if you have dry eye and then you go, you know, get your vision correction through that LASIK surgery, your dry eye is going to get worse. And of course, you know, eye injury is also on the list. Bulging eyes, droopy eyelids, they can also be causing the dry eye. Well, what are some of the risks? Well, you don't want to ignore a dry eye condition. For a majority of folks, it is a mild irritation with no long-term complications. However, if the problem persists and becomes severe, it can cause infection, eye damage, impair your vision, and in some rare cases, you can lose your eyesight. Well, let's talk about the prescription treatment. Yeah, if you go to the eye doctor, you can expect this. Eye physicians are going to suggest the over-the-counter eye drops. And some do come without preservatives, so you have to read your label. For chronic dry eye, they have this new drug called Restasis, which you've probably seen the ads for on TV. And Restasis attempts to reduce the inflammation of the eye, and so that the swelling goes down and then the glands can produce that lubricant. So do your homework on this drug, though. Really, patients with dry eye infections, patients with eye infections or herpes infections of the eye, they can't use the Restasis drug. You're prohibited, apparently, a problem. So, you know, do your homework on any product that's recommended to you. So what can you do? Well, there are certain things that you'll want to do for your eyes and certain things you'll want to avoid. So let's look at the avoid list first. You want to avoid dry and drafty environments, okay? Make sure your work station doesn't have you sitting under a vent and that air blowing on you all day long, or there's no ceiling fans going on, okay? Shut those things off. So avoid dry or drafty environments. Smoke, of course. You know, people smoking. Dust. Avoid rubbing your eyes. That's going to make it worse. And avoid cortisone-type products and prescription ointments for skin conditions around the eyes, because this can increase the risk of dry eye and even glaucoma. So do your homework on that if you have any of that problem. Also, some sundry and cosmetic makeup products will make dry eyes worse, so you might want to avoid makeup for a while. And avoid alcohol and caffeine, which, as we mentioned, dehydrates your eyes. And avoid, of course, the ceiling fans or prolonged exposure to air conditioning and heat vents. They'll dry out the eye layer that you don't want, your tear film layer of your eye. So what are the things you should do? Well, You want to protect your eyes from the sun's rays and lower your computer screen where your gaze is directed downward. This minimizes discomfort and eye strain. Hydrate your system with more water, of course. And if you're using eye drops to hydrate your eyes, you may want to get the drops without the chemical preservatives, as I mentioned, and the ones with the higher concentration of glycerin and propylene glycol, like 6% as opposed to 2%. Okay. Also, colloidal silver drops have been recommended as helpful. And they are, add that especially if you think there's an infection. You can try that. And you can pump more omega fatty acids into the diet. And remember to blink more often. Did I say that before? Well, I'm going to say it again. Blink more often. Hot compresses. This is something simple. Hot compresses over the eyes for a few minutes, a few times a day, helps to stimulate the eye glands to make more lubricant and dehydrate the three levels of your tear film on your eye. Okay, then what about nutrients that are going to help your eyes out? Well, some eye experts feel that removing the gluten from your diet is going to help, as well as getting more natural vitamin A. So you want to get that from your food groups. Also, if you're using supplements, use the whole food type and not a synthetic or an isolated nutrient supplement, because if you've been listening to the show, you know that certain nutrients got to have other nutrients as uptake requirements so that it's used properly. Also, eat more foods with omega fatty acids like, you know, olive oil, coconut oil, sardines, salmon. This will help reduce inflammation in the eye. Now, if you tend to not drink enough water to hydrate your system, a lot of people just don't like water. They just don't like it. They're so used to having something flavored. Well, try some coconut water, you know, or squirt a little lime or lemon in there, but don't drink the colored sugary stuff. Okay, so the potassium in the coconut actually will assist your eyes, believe it or not. Also, self-stick sea salt will have some essential minerals, including potassium and magnesium and so forth. So herbs that will help reduce the general inflammation are going to be bayberry bark, willow bark, and meadow sweet. Herbs that you could tap into for the glands of the eye to produce more lubricant are going to be golden seal and mullein. Now, if there is an infection, I like to use echinacea, eye bright, and golden seal. And for inflammation of the eye, I like to, just use a combination of those anti-inflammatories, including that eye bright herb. So if thyroid is a concern, black walnut is my choice. And if menopause is the issue, I like to use some female herbs. There's six of them all together to balance those hormones. And if you're looking on the website, thepowerherbs.com, that would be female maturity formula. And if you're a guy and you have dry eye, that would be male hormone formula. It's your thing. We got to take a little break. I got more, though, on dry eyes on the other side.
Into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with Salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Talk. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we are talking about dry eye. And, you know, right before the break, we were mentioning, you know, some of the nutrients. And, you know, and we mentioned that some folks, it could be their medicine that's causing the dry eye. So, you know what? If you suspect it's your medication causing the dry eye, there's usually a natural option that you can use instead. Okay, so research that. Now, if you're looking for herbal products that help with dry eye, you can contact the folks at Apothecary Herbs and ask them about the Herbal Eye Wash. I've heard that corrects dry eye in a skinny minute. So you check that out. It does have a lot of the herbs we were talking about as an anti-inflammatory. Also, they do have a separate pain and anti-inflammatory formula if you have a persistent inflammation issue. Let's say you got the rheumatoid arthritis that's, you know, promoting the dry eye, so you can get those two things. Also, black walnut for the thyroid. Of course, we talked about the hormone formulas, so you don't have to take, you know, your replacement hormone therapy. You can just take plants that feed your endocrine system so that your body makes the right amount of hormones. That we also have the mineral content in the Celtic sea salt that your body may be needing. And, of course, the mullein for the glands of the eye. Now, if infection's an issue, we have the adult echinacea formula. It has a little bit of a tangy tangerine flavor there. You like that. And if you just need more eye nutrition, well, then the Body Foundation food mix is what you're going to want to tap into. And you can find that and a whole lot more there at the powerherbs.com website, or give them a call at Apothecary Herbs. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or just visit the web, thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. Oh, boy. Well, before we kind of go to the next little segment here on nail fungus, and, yeah, just to remind folks, next Tuesday, the 13th, we're going to have a guest, Dr. Paul Kissinger. He's a medical doctor, and he's a big into, you know, natural ways to deal with that nail fungus. So he's going to be with us, and he's going to share his insights. So I hope you can join us. And also, if you're looking for, you know, some natural ways to transition into healthier lifestyles, the Seattle Organic Restaurant folks have tons of information, articles on their website that you can peruse and find very helpful. We do have a banner link for them on our links page at thepowerherbs.com, so you can click on that and tell them we sent you. All right, nail fungus, big problem. 35 million people in the U.S. have nail fungus. That, you know, well, not, it's not just the U.S. I'm sorry, 35 million globally. And that's at like 18% of the population on this planet. So the medical profession says that as we get older, our risk of getting things like nail fungus will increase. And by the time you reach 40, they say 25% of the adults have some kind of nail fungus. So over half the senior citizens have nail fungus. Mm-hmm. So, granted, nail fungus isn't really that life-threatening. You know, it's a little bit embarrassing. More people are concerned about, you know, toenail fungus. They just don't like it. It's unsightly. So, and it's not comfortable, too, if you get nail fungus. You know, it's painful. It can be painful. So we're going to talk about some of the causes. And, of course, we're going to be talking with Dr. Kissinger next week. Kissinger next week on what he recommends. Because I know they got that newfangled laser treatment for nail fungus. It's supposed to be pretty effective, but it's also pretty expensive. Let's talk about some of the causes. What tends to kick up our risk of getting nail fungus? Well, if we understand the cause, sometimes it helps us to avoid it down the road, or to keep it from coming back if you are lucky to get rid of it. So fungus, as you know, likes those dark, warm places, which, you know, makes your feet pretty much that prime target and tucked into those socks and shoes. Now, frequently, if you frequent spas, gyms, workout places that have, you know, damp, warm environments encourages that fungus and increases your exposure, the risk of getting them. You know, if you're a big swimmer, you're around pools a lot, lifeguard, you know, you're barefoot most likely, and you're going to pick stuff up. So unsanitary conditions, unsterilized equipment at pools, locker rooms, beauty parlors, nail spas, you know, people go get artificial nails and pedicures and whatever. They can offer conditions where you can kind of latch onto some nail fungus. So the type of shoe that you wear can also play a role. And, you know, you want to select shoes that have breathable material. That's important. Okay? So some medical professionals, they believe nail fungus can be inherited or attributed to poor nail hygiene. No. But they say not always. And they say, for instance, if you suffer from ingrown toenails, this can lead to an accumulation of debris under the nail. And the ingrown nails, pretty painful, hard to clean. And wearing socks and shoes can kind of trap a lot of moisture in and give fungus a prime, warm, moist environment that it likes. And medical professionals also caution not to share your nail grooming tools, like emery boards, clippers, nippers, whatever. And make sure that if you're going to a spa or salon that's going to, you know, give you a pedicure, whatever, you know, their stuff's clean. Hopefully. You know, while I was booking Dr. Paul Kinzinger, I actually asked him if trauma to the, let's say, your foot can create a nail fungus situation. He said, yes, it could. If the trauma happened to the nail bed itself. So here's the thing. A lot of treatments from podiatrists, when they treat ingrown nails, they will trim the nail back all the way to the cuticle. And if you want to permanently stop the nail from supposedly growing ingrown, they'll put some acid on the nerve at the nail bed to keep the nail from growing back like that. But that's trauma to the cuticle, the nail bed. And I think your risk of getting nail fungus is high. Well, let's talk about some symptoms. Toenail fungus is your basic fungi microorganism, which is similar to, you know, mold, dew, you know. And dermatologists and podiatrists call these particular nail fungi dermatophytes because it likes to feed on the keratinin, which is the protein in your nails. And by the way, your nails are porous, okay? So it likes to breathe, and we kind of slather, us girls, we slather all that nail polish on there, you know? So you might want to, if you want to polish your nails, because it looks pretty. It looks pretty on girls. And so you may not want to polish all the way to the cuticle, though. Just so you can have some of the nail bed with some breathing, okay? All right, so the way these fungi exist, survive, under your nail bed, they're kind of eating your protein off of your nails. It's kind of similar to a tapeworm, really, these fungus. They rob the host of nutrition, and it starves the nail, eating away at the protein of your nails. In the case of nail fungus, it starves your toenails of protein. And when nails are robbed of the protein, they become dry and soft and then brittle. So they may turn a different color. May be yellow. It could be black, brown. All kinds of colors. And here's the thing. You don't want the fungus to get to the nail bed if it creeps underneath your toe nail there. If it reaches the nail bed, you're going to have a real tough time getting rid of it. The nail will grow thick and irregular, and it will only be attached at the nail bed, and it'll kind of raise up off the toe, so it won't be attached anywhere but at the nail bed. So if you stub your toe or bump your toe, it's very painful. So that's what happens. And, you know, the toe gets thick and irregular, and if you try to trim it, it crumbles. Just crumbles away. Also, most people feel that their nails, if they're attacked by fungus, you know, they're unsightly and embarrassing, and so they tend to not want to wear open-toed shoes or sandals. And for this reason, a lot of people elect to treat their nail fungus with the highly advertised prescription drugs, right? So you got to be careful with the drugs out there for the nail fungus. Lots of side effects, which we'll get into shortly. Certain individuals may be more susceptible to contracting nail fungus, like athletes, people with poor circulation, diabetes, if you get HIV, AIDS, or any autoimmune disease that can compromise the nail. The toes that are most affected and the first to show signs of nail fungus are going to be your big toe and your little toe, because they're the ones that are usually in contact or rub on the side of shoes. Prescription medications, if you dare to try them, we're told they tend to clear the initial infection, but it does have a tendency to come back. Therefore, the immune system is going to play a vital role in helping you to prevent nail fungus. So make sure your immune system's pumped up there, it's healthy and well, and it's doing its job. That's right. Let's look at some of the treatments. There's a wide range of treatments available. Over-the-counter remedies galore are out there. Even, you know, prescription drugs, but there's also lots of natural stuff. And, you know, weigh the pros and cons. Do your homework on all of it. You should be aware that treating nail fungus is going to be a slow process. Due to the slow rate in which your nails grow. It takes a whole year for you to grow a toenail. So if you have found that there's a major difference between, well, home remedies and prescription medicine and treating nail fungus, it is a time risk. Home remedies offer no risk, usually, but they may take up a year of consistent applications to produce results, and most people don't hang with it. They get tired of it. So in contrast, you know, people say, well, this pharmaceutical product over here, which could work faster, but it may risk my liver. So if you go to your doctor, you will have most of the nail removed, and they'll file it down and trim it. Or your physician may even opt to dissolve the nail with a special chemical paste. So if the fungus is not severe and is limited to a small area, you may be given some topical medicine to apply twice a week. And there's over a dozen prescriptions the doctor can choose from. But the topical treatments can only penetrate to kill superficial fungus. Now, for severe toenail fungus, your doctor is going to recommend an oral medication, and one of the big popular ones is the Lamisil. But you're going to have to take a blood test first, and they're going to have to determine the health of your liver. If you have a sick liver, a fatty liver, they're not going to let you take it, because these drugs will stress your liver. That's right. So a few people have died from liver failure taking the nail fungus prescription drug. Oh, yeah. So the possibility that could happen to you may be slight, but it's still a possibility. I personally would rather have an ugly-looking toenail and have a healthy liver, but that's me. Now, oral drugs are taken for about 3 or 4 months, and it works through the bloodstream, and the side effects are kind of serious. Do your homework. One drug called Sporanox has been known to cause hepatitis and even complete liver failure. Modern medicine explains that the reason for the liver failure, well, we just don't understand what happened. That's pretty much what they say. We don't know why that happened. But under no circumstances should anyone with a liver or heart conditions be taking these oral antifungal drugs. Do not do that. These drugs are toxic to the liver, and your tests could come back where you have elevated liver enzymes. Now, some common side effects to the oral antifungal drugs are going to be nausea, stomach pain, vomiting, fever, chills, tiredness, or fatigue, vision changes, bleeding, dark urine, and yellowing of the skin and eyes, which means your liver is under attack, dizziness, itching, swelling, rash, and even trouble breathing. Uh-oh, respiratory arrest in there somewhere? I wonder. So one other oral antifungal drug, the Difalkin, not been approved by the FDA for nail fungus, though. And as a last resort, your doctor may recommend surgery to permanently remove the toenail and then use topical and oral treatments. But usually that doesn't work either. So the procedure that they do under local anesthesia takes about an hour. And they go all the way to the nail plate. They remove the nail, and it'll never grow back again. And your doctor will also recommend that you continue to use a topical oral medication to prevent any reoccurrence of the fungus. So, you know, I've heard of people that do that. They just say, just get rid of it. It's sort of like people get tired of their dental problems and they have all their teeth taken out and they get dentures. So, yeah, you can get a fake nail. And you have to kind of just, I don't know, glue it on, tape it on. I'm not sure how they do it. But it's like a nail prosthesis. Yeah, that's what they have. Well, what about some of the folk remedies? Well, there are people who swear by the old-time home treatments, like, you know, a beer soak. One is vinegar. They even mentioned the unconventional use of Listerine. You pull it up on the internet. But I would never use Listerine orally, but then again, it may have a purpose at the other end, you know, foot soak. I don't know. Maybe not. I haven't used it. Don't know. Don't know anybody that has. But what about some herbal options? Well, there's quite a bit. A thyme oil, I hear, is pretty effective, or some sort of thyme solution, you know, T-H-Y-M-E, the herb thyme. Something in the thyme is antifungal. And so that's going to offer you like zero side effects if you want to use that, but you got to hang with it. It's probably going to be, you know, 8 months to a year of dosing your toe with thyme oil or something of that effect. Sometimes people will say the sulfur and garlic can be added. Black walnut, the iodine black walnut usually kills a lot of that too, fungus, because of the tannins in it. It's a firmifuge. It gets rid of fungus. Mold hinders fungal growth. Now, and you might want to add a little of the calcium herbs to take internally to help your nails. The herbs that help bone and muscle and connective tissue are going to help your nails to grow nicely. So, you know, oat straw and lobelia, those type of herbs, great for calcium supplementation. So you've got some things there, and of course your immune-boosting herbs, echinacea, and your garlic is pretty broad-spectrum, astragalus root. So you've got some choices, and of course we're probably going to have some more choices when we talk with Dr. Kissinger on Tuesday, because I want to ask him what he recommends, see what he has to say, being an MD. You know, how do you notice something? A lot of these MDs are, well, they're going towards some natural stuff lately. A lot of them are. Well, okay, we got a few minutes, so we're going to be talking about some of the things that are not approved by the FDA, and most of them have to do with cancer. That's right. Natural stuff, of course. A lot of people, you know, looking for some natural things. They don't want to do the chemical treatments for or the surgery for cancer. Well, according to the WHO, 65 to 85% of the world's population tends to use natural therapies. And a lot of them are not approved by the FDA. And these people who use them don't care about if the FDA approves of it or not. So if we have that many people using natural stuff, that means a small percentage of people are still convinced that allopathic medicine is there to help them, not manage their problem, but cure them. Okay. So the FDA is, you know, not approving some of this natural stuff. Well, let's look at some of the strategy. Basically, 22 million of our tax dollars the U.S. government has spent on natural medicine research at the National Institutes of Health and Public Health Services since 1992. Now, in 91, the Americans made more visits to natural health providers, paying $425 million, than to AMA doctors, paying only $388 million. So the AMA said, you know, we need a resolution here, and we're going to call it resolution number 514. And they want to advise all their doctor members to get more involved in alternative medicine and participate in as many studies as they can. So the U.S. medical schools, about a third of them, are kind of following the European medical school lead and offering classes in alternative medicine. So they want to kind of bring your natural alternatives under the AMA umbrella. Do you see where this is going? Yeah. So, you know, if they do that, be expected to pay higher prices for natural stuff. That's where it goes. Your complementary alternative medicine, or CAM doctor, has been the creation of this Resolution 514. They hope to have eventually just one place for all patients to go, not having, you know, drug therapy here under prescriptions and natural stuff there. They want it all under one. And, you know, with Obamacare, they may just do that. They may get it their wish. The question is, are you going to let them? Well, are you? Well, that is a question, I have to say. And, you know, we're out of time, so I won't be able to really jump into the, well, we were going to talk about some cancer stuff and what you may want to look at. One of the newest things is that dandelion root. Boy, was that a huge discovery this year, last year. So if you're looking for dandelion root, guess who has some? That's right. Apothecary Herbs, they have some of that. Check out the Windsor University Medical College research on that. You can Google that and see what they found, what they discovered about dandelion root. And it doesn't matter what kind of cancer you have either. Yep. That's right. Well, I appreciate the listener who said, you know, do a show on dry eyes. If you do have a topic you want me to cover, feel free to give me a call at Apothecary Herbs during the week, 9 to 5 Eastern time. Or you can send me an email off the website and say, hey, can you do a show on? And we'll see if we can accommodate you. Do that, and we'll email you and tell you yes or no. That's right. Do tap into the free offer of a free product catalog. The folks at Apothecary Herbs will send you one if you don't have one. You can go online and request it, or you simply give them a call toll-free at 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. And we'll send one out to you, and you'll have it in your hot little hands before you know it. Wow, I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.